Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite wisdom and mercy, has ordained that the entire world and the cosmos, it follow a certain fixed pattern and course, the small and large details of which are contained within the infinite knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter which direction one looks towards and the occurrences he observes, or no matter which memory he reflects upon, then every event and occurrence has been calculated and is foreknown by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this reality is not merely an afterthought, but it is a theme which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to on a number of occasions in the Quran. Allah ta'ala mentions, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا. That no affliction, no calamity strikes on the earth, nor within yourselves, except that it is in a record before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. Meaning before that calamity, it came into being, before it emerged, it was within a record with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Indeed, that is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah ta'ala mentions the rationale, the reason behind this. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. In order that you do not grieve at that which misses you, and in order that you do not become overly joyous or begin to brag over that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. On another occasion, Allah ta'ala, He mentions that وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. That with Allah ta'ala, with Him rests the keys of the unseen. None knows them except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what are these keys? We learn in a narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that there are five such things which Allah ta'ala speaks of in another verse. Inna Allaha 'indahu 'ilmus sa'ah. Indeed, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rests the knowledge of the final hour. None knows the precise moment at which the final hour will take place, the day of judgment. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. Allah ta'ala causes the rain to fall. No individual knows the precise moment at which the rain will fall, how many droplets, which drops are productive, which are inert. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. Allah ta'ala says, He knows what is within the wombs. Not only the gender, Allah ta'ala, He is aware of the entire profile of that unborn child. How many breaths it will take, how many morsels it will consume, what will be the nature of its deeds. Allah ta'ala is well aware. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَّاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. No soul knows what it shall earn tomorrow. The future is unknown to every individual. And then Allah ta'ala mentions the fifth thing, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. No soul knows on which earth it shall die. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks of these keys of the unseen, that وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. To Him belong these keys of the unseen. And thereafter Allah ta'ala mentions, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. He knows what is on the land and what is within the oceans. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. No leaf falls except that Allah ta'ala is aware of it. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. No seed within the darknesses of the earth. وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Nothing moist, nothing dry, except that it is within the clear book, the preserved tablet, within the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So internalizing this reality is not something trivial or minor, but it is a central tenet of our iman. It is from the articles of faith which have been laid out in the famous hadith of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam. In this narration, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam, he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the form of a person. And an exchange takes place between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyidina Jibreel. And all the Sahaba, they witness this. And during this exchange, he asks the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam certain questions. What is Islam? What is Iman? What is Ihsan? When will the hour take place? He asks certain questions, the answers to which they form the essence of what the deen of Islam is about. To teach the congregation the essence of their deen. And so when he asks the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is faith, what is Iman? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains, أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. That you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His angels, His books and scriptures, His messengers. You believe in the final day, the day of judgment, and then you believe in destiny, the good and the evil. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full knowledge and everything has been measured out with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is the reality of the created order that we witness all around us. And then among this order, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created this human being as His delegate, as His representative on the earth. And so accordingly, He created him in the best of molds and fashions, both spiritually and physically. And Allah Ta'ala, He reminds us of this in the Quran. لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Indeed, we created the human being in the best of molds. And with regards to his physical capacity, Allah Ta'ala, He created him with such sophistication that the ulama explain that just as there is the large universe outside of us, then so sophisticated is this human being that Allah Ta'ala has made him a smaller model of this universe. That anything you will find outside, you will find an equivalent within this human being. Just as there are mountains that keep the earth stable, there are bones within the body of the human being. Just as there is a glorious sun which illuminates the entire earth, and it animates the earth, and we cannot stare at it because of its glory. Similarly, within the human being, there is this ruh, this soul that animates the entire body. And so forth, the examples can go on. And then we come to his spiritual capacity. And in terms of his final goal, he has the capability of residing in the eternal gardens of Jannah and beholding the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this sense, he has been ennobled above much of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, between this current state and that final goal, there is a journey of this world that needs to be undertaken. And just like any journey requires planning and provisions, the journey from this world also requires certain provisions. And among the best provisions a person's heart can be stocked with is certainty and yaqeen. Certainty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certainty of the hereafter and all the matters of the unseen. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he instructs us to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyah. He mentions, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyah, prosperity. And this word afiyah is very comprehensive. It includes everything for the betterment of an individual. Protection from harm, both physically, spiritually, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all forms of goodness. So he says, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyah. Why? فَإِنَّ أَحَدًا لَمْ يُعْطَ بَعْدَ الْيَقِينِ خَيْرًا مِنَ الْعَافِيَةِ. That no individual, after having been given certainty, is given anything better than afiyah. And so one of the strongest dispositions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed deep within the heart of a human being is the need for certainty and stability. And we see this played out in the routine activities of everyday life. In fact, the very need for a routine, that the day ought to start at a certain time, there should be regularity within our jobs and within our work, and that we have a home to retire to for the night, or when planning a holiday or a vacation, we make advanced preparations to ensure that that journey will be smooth and a stable one. And there are certain places, certain stores that we visit on a regular basis. Why? Because we have a certain level of assurance and certainty that our needs will be met there. But this is the stability and certainty that we seek for the routine choices of the world. Yet there is a higher level of yaqeen, uncertainty, which requires effort. An effort is required to cultivate and to develop this certainty. And this is the certainty with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter. Yet the hasty nature of man is such that unless he exerts himself and makes an active effort on his spiritual state, he is very prone to misplace this certainty on the mundane things of this world and forget the things which are actually real, the things of the hereafter and the unseen. And Allah Ta'ala draws our attention to this state, this conflicted state of ours in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَوَالِدٍ وَمَا وَلَدْ. He takes an oath by the father and what he begets. And the ulama of tafsir, they explain, this is a reference, a possible reference to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and his progeny. Meaning the entirety of mankind, they experience this dilemma. What does Allah Ta'ala mention? لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We have created the human being in a state of toil, in a state of difficulty. أَيَحْسَبُ أَن لَّن يَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٍ. Does he think that there is nobody capable over him? Does he think that there is nobody that has power over him? And the reality of the matter is that certainty and yaqeen, it has varying degrees. In its total absence, it brings out the very worst in an individual. And in its presence, it brings out the very best. And in its worst form, where there is a total absence of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the afterlife, what do we see that it brings about? Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. Have you seen the one who falsifies the reckoning, the accountability, the day of judgment? He is the one who pushes away the orphan and he does not encourage the feeding of the poor. When there is a total absence of certainty regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it shows in the character of a person. Why? Because without certainty in the unseen, the inferior stock of this worldly life becomes the only objective that a person lives for. And a person, he begins to guard his worldly goods and standing with all his life, even if it means he loses his dignity and grace. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells in one hadith that صَلَاحُ أَوَّلِ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بِالزُّهْدِ وَالْيَقِيدِ, that the betterment, the upright nature of this ummah, or the betterment of the former part of this ummah, the earlier part of this ummah, is through abstinence from the world and through certainty. Yet at the same time, وَيَهْلِكُ آخِرُهَا بِالْبُخْلِ وَالْأَمَلِ. The latter part, the end part of this ummah, will perish through miserliness and through long aspirations. When certainty is rooted in the heart, then the worldly life becomes an afterthought and the hereafter becomes the focus. And accordingly, the person, he becomes very charitable in his worldly living. He recognizes the impermanent nature of the world and he suffices on necessities. And within this modest way of living, Allah Ta'ala grants him the best of all worlds. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us in a hadith that man asbaha minkum mu'afan fi jasadi aminan fi sarbih indahu qutu yawmih faka'annama hizat lahu dunya. Whoever among you wakes up with good bodily health, secure among his family and dwellings, indahu qutu yawmih, he has his day's food, then it is as if the entire world has been secured for that individual. But when this certainty diminishes, then the worldly life becomes the focus and the hereafter becomes an afterthought. And accordingly, an individual, he loses himself in the fog of this world, and often suffering greatly to acquire some meager gains of this world, and even then, he secures very little. This is why Allah Ta'ala, he reminds us in the Quran, that مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمُ. That whoever seeks the immediate, the passing, meaning this worldly life, عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ. We will hasten for him what we wish for who we wish. There are restrictions and conditions here. And then Allah Ta'ala says, then we will appoint for him Jahannam. يَصْلَاهَا مَذْمُومًا مَدْحُورًا. He will burn therein, he will enter the fire of Jahannam in a blameworthy and rejected state. Yet on the other hand, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. He who desires the hereafter and he makes its efforts whilst he is a believer, فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Then those individuals, their efforts will be appreciated. But to work for the Akhirah, it requires a level of certainty. And this certainty needs to be developed. Just like if one of us was to be working and we were unsure whether there would be any form of repayment, then this uncertainty would be reflected in the quality of our work. At the same time, if we knew that there is a certain repayment for this work, then again this would be reflected in the quality of the work. And so these realities, the realities of the hereafter, the realities of Jannah, the realities of Jahannam, if the conviction and the certainty is there, this is reflected and it should be reflected in our conduct within this worldly life. And so, my dear respected elders and friends, the importance of developing this yaqeen cannot be overstated. The difference between strong conviction and weak conviction is the difference between the strong of this ummah and the weak among them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us in a hadith that al-mu'minu al-qawiyyu khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if, that the strong believer, he is better and more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the weak believer. Wa fi kullin khayr, although in all of them there is good. And then he lays out certain prescriptions. احرص على ما ينفعك. Strive towards that which brings you benefit. واستعن بالله. Seek assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولا تعجز. Do not become helpless. Why? Because the helpless state is a state of that individual whose certainty and conviction is waning and weak. So he says, ولا تعجز. Do not become helpless. وإن أصابك شيء. What should the attitude be? This attitude should be one which is propped up, which is being carried forward with certainty at his foundation. So he says, احرص على ما ينفعك. Strive towards that which brings you benefit. واستعن بالله. Seek assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٌ فَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. If any difficulty, if anything comes over you, then don't say, if only I had done such and such a thing, then such and such a thing would have been the outcome. Rather, وَلَكِنْ قُلْ قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. Rather, say and declare that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed it, and as Allah ta'ala wished, He did. Why? فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَحُ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ. To say, لَوْ, if only this, if only that. To say, لَوْ, it opens up the doors of shaitan. And this is also one of the reasons the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make the dua for certainty a part of his routine supplications. Sahaba radiallahu anhu mentioned that rarely was there a gathering that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would step away from, except that he would recite and supplicate with this dua. And the dua is a lengthy one, yet the important part of this dua, the beginning part of this dua, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would ask Allah ta'ala that, oh Allah, apportion for me from your awe and fear that which will become a barrier between us and your disobedience, and apportion for us such obedience which will carry us to your Jannah. And then he used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and grant us such certainty through which the hardships, the trials, the tribulations of the world would become eased. وَمِنَ الْيَقِينِ مَا تُهَوِّنُ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا مَصَائِبَ الدُّنْيَا. And so the most important question then is, how is this conviction and certainty developed? And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us the solution to this in one verse of the Qur'an. Allah ta'ala mentions, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. That worship your Lord until certainty comes to you. The reality of the matter is that certainty is abstract. It is not something that is concrete, something that you can put your hands on. Just like an individual, if he claims somebody to be generous or to be brave, then to show this, he would say and he would explain that he spends such and such an amount of wealth, or that these are his adventures, and accordingly we learn that such a person is generous or brave. And so similarly, conviction, it has an outward form. And so if you wish to gauge your level of certainty, then check and recheck your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the acts of worship. Is your day centered around the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala merely an afterthought? And reflecting over this question, every individual can take stock of himself to see where he stands with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what is the level of his certainty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from among those who remain constantly engaged in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from among those who have a high level of certainty with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regards to the matters of the unseen, with regards to the hereafter, and everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for us to bring iman and faith upon. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.